This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Detroit Symphony Orchestra has just wrapped up its Beethoven Festival to great acclaim and great ticket sales. And for the finale, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the DSO streamed it, that concert, that final concert, in high def over the internet. That's one clear sign the DSO is finding new ways to reach more people and become a true 21st century orchestra and to reach its goal of becoming the most accessible orchestra on the planet. Just what does it take to keep the DSO thriving and to make it a more sustainable business? Paul Hogel's the man who's been tasked with that very challenge. He is the executive vice president of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, and Paul joins us in the studio. Welcome to Michigan Radio, Paul.
Hello.
Well, you were recruited in early 2010 from the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, and you were certainly part of fundraising efforts for Chicago and Baltimore and Indianapolis. So what was it about the DSO that made you say, yes, I'll come to Detroit?
When I first visited here, Ann Parsons said to me, come and spend a half a day. And if you don't catch the enthusiasm for the Renaissance that's happening in Detroit, go back to Atlanta, return to your family, and enjoy the rest of your career. So I got on a plane. I came in the middle of March in 2010. It was very snowy. Now, I grew up in Cleveland, so I remembered the snow.
You know from snow, yeah.
I do. But I had been away for a very long time. I came, and I'm sure this is a little bit made up, but within a few hours, I could get a sense of what was happening in Detroit. And I decided right then I had to be part of it, that there was something magical happening in the city in general and at the orchestra in particular, and I wanted to be part of that.
What do you think that was? What was that something magical?
I think there's something in the DNA in southeastern Michigan that craves and actually requires a great orchestra. I don't think Michiganders or Detroiters would put up with an average institution, an institution that didn't perform well, that didn't serve its community well, that didn't have education programs that were wide-reaching. I just don't think we'd put up with it. And that's really exciting because that is not true in every city in America.
And it is certainly I know when we talked to Maestro Slatkin, it's certainly the reputation of the musicians drew him to Detroit. And the whole idea is to have a world-class orchestra. At the same time, here's a city with a lot of financial troubles, a region of Michigan that has had a real rough time. Certainly that was felt financially, and there were some tough decisions that had to be made. And that led, with the pay cuts and retrenching that you had to do, led to that long, long strike. I'm sure that stretch, October 4th, 2010, it began and lasted till April 9th, 2011. You can tell me down to the minute, right?
Yeah, I remember it very well.
What did that episode say to really orchestras across America about the realities of the business of running an orchestra?
Well, I think the most shocking thing to me as someone who's been in this field for almost 30 years is how fragile these great institutions are. And at the same time, we have found a place in our community where performing more concerts in a single venue, sometimes isolated from everything that's going on us around us in the community, does not reconcile with the general community. So orchestras like the Detroit Symphony, throughout its history, have always been involved in its community in more than just sitting in its home concert hall. But during the strike and immediately thereafter, we recommitted to this objective of being the most accessible orchestra, not just digitally, but also by physically returning to our roots and going into communities across Southeast Michigan. So here we are, one of the great orchestras in this country, performing a substantial series of concerts in downtown Detroit. But we're also doing 24 concerts in 6 neighborhood venues around Southeast Michigan. We're also visiting another dozen or so communities beyond those neighborhoods in full orchestra concerts in schools and public auditoriums and churches and synagogues. That's most major orchestras in this country do concerts in their hometown, and then they travel someplace else to present their music. Mm-hmm. They do their residencies someplace else, summer festivals, places far south, not Detroit. We decided to do residencies for our own communities. That's what's part of the magic here.
And when you talk about making the Detroit Symphony a more sustainable business, you have to build fans for the future. We see that in sports. We see when the Red Wings have free T-shirt night, get the kids in. You've got to grow your future audiences.
Yeah, that's another one of those exciting elements about working here. There is a generational belief that the orchestra is important, the same way I think you can come here and be a huge fan of the Red Wings or the Tigers or the Lions or the Pistons. You don't necessarily have to go to a lot of hockey games to catch the Red Wing fever. I'd never seen a hockey game before I moved here. I've been a small package ticket holder now, and I think I'm thrilled about going. I think I see the same thing with the orchestra. People believe that having a great orchestra is part of what a great American international city has. And whether they come to concerts all the time or they're just proud to say, hey, that's my orchestra down there, it works both ways.
And what's being done to, I guess, take the DSO beyond the Southeast Michigan area, but the idea of letting Michigan feel that it has a stake in the DSO?
I think there are two things that we're doing right now. One is definitely our webcast series. So here we are, the only orchestra in the United States and only one of two in the world webcasting our concerts. So every week a classical concert can be seen live and for free on the internet. You can watch it on your computer, on your PDA, on your iPad, all those devices. So that's one thing that distinguishes us. But a second thing is we are taking our music out live. This year we'll be at Carnegie Hall as part of the Spring for Music Festival. It's the first time in 17 years that we've been to Carnegie Hall, so this is a huge deal. But not only are we performing at this festival, we're actually the only orchestra to be performing twice in the history of this festival. So that's a great honor in me. We're going to carry the Detroit and the Michigan flag, so to speak, all the way to New York. The second thing is we have a regular touring program in Florida, and we have been to Florida. We were there the year I got here in 2010, and we will be returning on a regular basis. We have a huge following in Florida, so that's another part of us going and being with the audiences that love us.
Are some of these community concerts that you're talking about outside of Southeast Michigan? For example, could you see yourself in Traverse City or on the West Side?
We absolutely could. We have been talking with some presenters in Traverse City right now about coming up with some small ensembles and visiting there on a regular basis. We have a great relationships with our friends at Interlochen Art Center, which is a fantastic resource in Interlochen. We have been to Ann Arbor recently here and performed the Magnificent Hill Auditorium, and we are in regular conversations with our friends in East Lansing about returning there. So we will go anywhere.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside, and I'm Cynthia Canty, and I am speaking with the Executive Vice President of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, Paul Hogel, who joined the orchestra in early 2010. So as you've been through the tough times with the musician strike and some tough financial decisions that had to be made, where do you feel now 2 years later? How would you portray the financial health of the DSO?
We're definitely stronger. We're not out of the woods, but we're definitely stronger. We are selling more tickets than we were. We have a growing base of audience, which is outstanding. We have 100% increase in the number of donors making a contribution to us. We have, with the help of our friends at the five banks who owned the debt on our expansion project, who participated mightily in resolving that, we now fully own all of our property. So these are all tremendous assets. We know in our long-range plan that was adopted by the board in December, we know the blueprint to complete sustainability. And it involves returning to certain sales levels, sustaining our annual giving levels, and building an endowment commensurate with other orchestra sizes. These things are not surprises to us, but the numbers are now on paper and very well known for the next chapter of our sustainability.
When you think about your vision for the future, and you've opened it up now with On Digital DSO, where it's a whole new world there. Also, you have partnered up with the likes of Kid Rock, for instance. Now, how important is it for the DSO to be like seen on YouTube playing an Eminem song or partnering up with Kid Rock? Is that crucial to your future growth?
I think orchestras throughout history have always found a way to straddle the line between the classic world that we live in and the contemporary existence that we thrive on. I found the Kid Rock experience to be thoroughly enjoyable. I was in the Fox Theater with 5,000 people watching our orchestra and Leonard Slatkin, who was masterful, working with this really contemporary, very popular, beloved artist. And I will never forget at the beginning of the concert, we did about 20 minutes of classical repertoire. Okay. And Leonard was brilliant. He selected the first movement of Beethoven's Fifth for one of the openings. So here we are, a whole auditorium full of 5,000 people. I'm sure most of these people had not really heard the orchestra live before. And Leonard gives the down drumbeat, do-do-do-do, and the people just stood up and screamed, yes, oh, yes. It was like being at a rock concert for an orchestra, and it was so exciting because it was their orchestra. It was the Detroit Symphony Orchestra performing. What a great night for us. And I think it earned us some fans, both in the general sense of, oh, this is my orchestra, mm-hmm. and maybe I'll go try this out someday.
But important not to lose the vision of the classical side of
Correct.
Things.
Correct. You know, at the end of the day, an orchestra was created to perform the great masterworks mm-hmm. that feature a full string ensemble, a full wind symphony. You know, it's this balance. We are what we are, and I'm very proud of that. But I'm also very proud that orchestras like the Detroit Orchestra is so nimble that they can perform a wide collection of music with great confidence and with great artistic levels. That's why the Kid Rock concert worked. To hear his band partnering with a full string and brass section, it was really impressive.
Are there any future plans? Do you have your covetous eye on any other artists?
I will say that we are in discussions about what we are familiarly calling Kid Rock 2, the concept of a next generation concert. He's being helpful, very helpful with us in trying to put that together, maybe as early as this summer, and I'd say stay tuned.
Stay tuned there. Finally, where do you hope to see the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, let's say 10 years from now?
I'm usually uncomfortable with the word model. I don't know quite what a model is when so many American cities are so different. Their communities are different. Their orchestras, their histories are different. However, I think what's happening here in Detroit as a city and as an orchestra does present opportunities for how an orchestra might be sustainable in the 21st century. Here's an orchestra that is going to perform at the highest level on the artistic scale. We're attracting candidates from all over the world for open positions. It's very exciting. And I see a renewed sense of excitement of our legacy players in that work. But I also see our work in education and in community engagement and in service, that things that will never be talked about widely, but we do week after week. 1,000 kids in our education programs every week come into our life to be mentored. I think musicians are in hospitals this very day working with music therapists in professional settings in things that will never be publicized but are meaning a great deal to those patients that are involved. I think this is what 10 years looks from now. It's not an orchestra that is constantly worried about its fragility. It's actually an orchestra worried about achieving all the opportunities that it sees before us, kind of a renaissance along the lines of what the city is experiencing.
Paul Hogel is the Executive Vice President of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. Paul, thanks for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you.